CliffCentral.com. Welcome. You are tuned in to the Youth Leadership Platform on the Leadership Platform. I'm live on Cliff Central. Your host today, Bongani, is my name. And I've got lovely people in the studio, and I'd love them to introduce themselves.
Hello, I'm Chanel Karawan. I am one of the guests today. We're going to be talking about interesting things. It's so weird being on this side, by the way, just from always being, you know, that side and hosting. It's very awkward being the guest, and I have Bongani looking at me like he wants me to give interesting answers, you know, to all of his questions. But anyway, you guys know me. I'm Chanel. I'm just as a guest today.
Awesome. And I guess I'm the other guest. My name is Gregory Eccles. I'm a registered counseling psychologist in private practice in Greenstone. And I believe we're here to talk a little bit about depression.
Yes. Our show today, well, it is initially titled Depression, but what we want to focus on is how do we get out of it, you know? Because if we focus on depression for what depression is, then we're just going to depress our listeners and ourselves eventually. So, we'll start off with Chanel. So Chanel has a bit of a history with depression.
A little bit.
Trying to be diplomatic.
Yeah.
So can you tell us a bit about that?
So I really didn't know that depression and anxiety was what I had when I was younger. And I grew up in a family where, you know, my mom and them are really old school. So if you feel a certain way, and that usually, you know, it might be depressive behavior, they sort of think that, you know, you're just grumpy that day or you'll get over it. And they don't really believe that this is a problem. So when I was younger, I used to have certain things like my anxiety. I would have shakes in the morning, you know, some of the more physical aspects of it. I thought I had anger issues when I was always agitated. But as time went on, and I think it hit me really when I couldn't get out of bed one morning. I couldn't get out of bed. And I was very down. And I went to the doctor and I said to her, I don't know what this is and I can't do this anymore because I feel this way every day and it's starting to feel worse to me and I can't get out of bed and I don't want to do life anymore. And she said, you probably have depression and anxiety. And she took me through this little chart thing that she has in her office to show where about my depression is so that she could give me some medication. And that's really when I realized, okay, this is it, and this is what it feels like. It's very difficult to explain. I think that people, different people have different symptoms and different things that they feel. But for me, it was that point when I couldn't get out of bed that morning.
Mm. Yeah, very interesting.
And I think the way you talk about it as well, you know, you say, I have depression and I have anxiety. But when we go into the details of it, there's so much that falls under that umbrella.
100%.
And I think we have a sort of common everyday way of talking about saying, I'm feeling a bit depro today. Mm. But then there's also, you know, there's a difference between that and then clinical depression.
Yes.
And then even when I'm talking about clinical depression, we're basically like that point where you said, you know, you reached the point where you went to the doctor and you said, I just can't anymore. That's sort of a point where I'd say there's a difference between I'm feeling depressed today and I potentially have a disorder that is impacting my life so severely that it's affecting my functioning negatively.
Yes, and that's exactly what it was, and that's exactly what happens. It starts to affect your everyday functionality. You can't do things the same anymore or feel the way you do about certain things as you used to. And it's a very sensitive thing, I think. Anything can really trigger it. But I think as time goes by, you start learning what those triggers are. Mm-hmm. And then you know that that's what's happening to you.
Yeah.
Interesting. Thank you very much for that, Chanel. Can you tell us a bit about what you do and pretty much educate our listeners on what depression and anxiety is.
Okay. Well, very broad field, so we're going to have to pick a couple little bits in that. But basically, most people, when they're talking about depression as a disorder, they're usually thinking about something like a major depressive disorder, which is then a lot of the symptoms you've been talking about. The primary symptoms are usually that idea of feeling sad or feeling empty, or sometimes it even presents as feeling irritable a lot of the time, particularly for large amounts of time. But then along with that, you get symptoms like insomnia, not eating well, or which can be not eating enough or eating far too much, a lack of energy, lack of motivation. With some people, they present with suicidal thoughts as well. So there's a long checklist of criteria that go into something like major depressive disorder. And it's not to say that each person who has that is going to present the same way. Oftentimes, you'll get one person say, I can't sleep at night and it's driving me crazy. And the next person says, well, that's not a problem for them at all, but they've gained so much weight because they're overeating every day. So it's a list of criteria that we say, okay, well, you have to have so many of these types of symptoms and then this has to come and that has to come. And it's, but I think the most important part is that that sad or empty or irritable feeling is so severe that you can't function properly with it anymore. But then there's other depressive disorders that are similar but have a different type of severity. So, for example, there's a disorder we used to call dysthymic disorder, which is then kind of like depression, except instead of that super low mood, it's sort of an under normal mood. So it's not as severe as normal depression, but then the amount of time it's there is for much longer. It's usually for like 2 years at a time. You're constantly feeling this low mood, as opposed to depression usually sort of goes through sections where this part of my life I'm feeling extremely low, and then you come out of it after a point and you feel fine for a while, and then later on, if it's a recurrent thing, you know, it happens again, that you sink to that really low point.
And as a practicing psychologist, you've met some clients with a lot of these problems.
Definitely, it's one of the most common things
to depression. So, what are some of the thought processes that goes through their mind during this period of depression?
Well, like I said, the suicidality is perhaps the severe side of that. Is that they often see that as a potential solution to their situation. Generally, the idea is that they're experiencing a lot of pain, whether it's psychological in this case, or in other cases, it can be physical pain as well. And they feel quite hopeless about it, in the sense that, you know, there's nothing else I can do to get rid of this feeling. So obviously, that's this very severe side that those sorts of people then turn to suicidal ideation. But then beyond that, they often sort of lose motivation to want to achieve in the workplace or achieve academically. They don't have much of a drive to get out of bed in the morning. And they can see that other people around them are subjectively much happier than they are. And it's I guess it would feel unfair to say, you know, well, why do I have to feel low all the time when all these other people seem to be living life wonderfully?
You know, to be honest, that's a really big thing that I go through as well. Sometimes I just go to work and I say to everyone, you're so damn happy today. I cannot stand it.
Yeah.
You know, not because I'm not feeling, you know, particularly great that day. It could be a normal day for me, but sometimes the happiness is just so much that you just want to strangle them, and it's a real thing. You know, so don't take these little things for granted is what I'm trying to say. It is the little things that end up becoming more of a problem as time goes on.
Yeah.
Hmm. Very, very, very interesting. One of those people that have had treatment for depression myself as well, ongoing, that is, what are some of the ways that we can be there for people with depression, but not necessarily antagonize them?
Yeah.
Because you get people that sit you down and want to help you out, like genuinely so.
Yeah.
But they will say things like, you need to snap out of it.
Yeah.
Like it's something that you just
take
catch
vitamins.
A flu and then
take
it's
vitamins.
Gone.
Do you'll exercise. Be fine. Do exercise. Go for yoga. Yeah. It's not that simple.
Yeah. And look, I think it's important to understand that these issues are not black and white in the sense that, you know, vitamins and exercise and yoga have their place, you know, and I'm definitely not going to discourage someone who's depressed from doing those sorts of things, but they're not a cure either. And that's the difference between feeling depro and being depressed. In terms of what you can do for someone that is depressed, I think perhaps the most important thing you can do is social support that's non-judgmental. Because I think that judgmental part of it is particularly an issue in that people will often try to solve the problem for you, to say, no, all I think you need to do is X, Y, Z, and you'll feel much better. And oftentimes, it's not necessarily because of a specific situation that they feel depressed. It can be. It can be something related to, you know, a family member or a friend might have died recently, for example, and then you'll see a lot of those symptoms. There can be all sorts of actual real life reasons, but it can also be nothing to do with those or to do with so many of them that you can't just focus on one and say, you know, oh, study more, then your grades will go up and you'll feel better. You know, it's I think that's the majority, is that there are so many things contributing to it. And it's less to do with the outside situations and more to do with how you interact with those situations that's perhaps resulting in depressed feelings.
You know, I think from my side, and I can only speak for myself, in Bongani, you know, you just said that you go through this as well. But one of the things that I constantly feel with people who's trying to support me, and I do get that they're trying to support me, I just feel sometimes like they have no understanding as to what you're actually going through.
Yeah.
So I think one of the things that you can do is listen. And observe, pay attention. If you're living with someone, I know for me, and again, I'm saying I can only speak for myself, for me, the morning is the worst part. Don't generally like waking up in the morning. It's when I feel most depressed, you know, before my 20 milligram medication sort of kicks in. It's a bad time for me. And I usually prefer to sort of just be left
alone.
To myself, left alone, to sort of just get into the morning, you know, have my cup of tea. And I constantly find sometimes when I'm with my family members, we have a very loud family. So in the morning, they would come and they would want to talk to me and be happy and rays of sunshine. And I just for that moment need to deal with what I am feeling. So pay attention to that. Pay attention to what's happening with the person that is depressed. Listen to them. If they say to you, you know, just not now, later, listen. Listen, let them deal with the way that they're feeling. And try and get a little bit of understanding as to when these things happen and what the triggers are and why, so that you can support them, you know, effectively.
I think you use such an important key word there, that listen. And the way you emphasize it as well is sort of, I want to do the same.
Yeah.
Because I think when people are listening to someone else, our default mode of listening is to listen to someone in order to give them a reply. You know, even like this interview now, I sort of think, okay, well, what they're talking about now, I need to formulate what I'm going to respond to them. And that's a default mode that a lot of us go through. But I think in terms of helping somebody with depression or anxiety or any sort of mental health problem is to listen empathically for that understanding you were talking about.
Yeah.
That it's more important to be able to show them that you're trying to understand what's going on with them, rather than to say, oh, okay, she said this, I should recommend this thing now.
Yes.
And that sort of solution-focused way of listening, and, you know, I'm listening purely for a response, is not as helpful.
Thank you very much. We have somebody on the line that we want to introduce and have on the show as well. You've probably seen her in 2001 on The Sorcerer's Apprentice and 2002 on Scout Safari, most recently on Strictly Come Dancing and Top Billing. She's a sensation. Her name is Roxanne. Hi, Roxanne.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing good. Yourself?
Very well, thank you. Thanks for having me.
Yes, thank you for being on the show as well.
Sure.
Roxanne, you have been involved in quite a number of depression campaigns.
Yeah, I like to. I think that the work that SADAG does in particular is so incredibly important. So wherever I can help out, I do try and help out. I think it's an important thing to speak about.
Mm-hmm. What has been your motivation to be part of the depression narrative?
I've struggled with bouts of depression throughout my life. I've struggled with post-traumatic stress disorder or syndrome, rather. I'm not a psychologist, so I don't know all the words.
Mm-hmm.
But I struggle with anxiety even to this day to a certain extent. So I can relate to how people are feeling in terms of what it's like to go through the motions of having these feelings. And it's such a, you know, I wish it weren't this taboo that nobody wanted to speak about. Because just as a cardiologist, for example, looks after your heart, so a psychiatrist looks after your head, and psychologists and psychotherapy, and it's really nothing to be ashamed of.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I think, you know, like I say, I just think it's an important thing to speak about to try and get rid of the stigma, because it is still a stigma.
Yes.
Unfortunately, there is still this kind of, oh, you see a psychologist, what's wrong with you?
Mm-hmm.
And there's nothing wrong with you. I love seeing, as I joke when I say I see my shrink, I love seeing her. She's amazing. She helps me. She, you know, she really motivates me, and she keeps me in check to a certain extent. And it's like I say, you go to see the doctor when you're not feeling well. And if you're not feeling well in terms of an emotional point of view, then go and see someone. There's nothing wrong with it.
Wow. And, you know, with your kind of your line of work, to be more precise, it's a very demanding job. You have to be everywhere at the same time, and there's a lot of pressure that's put on you on the spotlight. What's some of the challenges that anxiety for instance has presented to you?
Well, I think it's twofold. They say that it's always sunny on TV, which mm-hmm. is true. Nobody really wants to see a sad presenter. So in terms of, you know, I'm in entertainment television. I'm not a journalist, you know, I'm not necessarily reporting on the news or anything like that. So I don't have to be serious, but I'm meant to make people feel better. So nobody wants to see me down or depressed. And I think that that's where it can become a bit of a burden for anyone. And I think that this is something that a lot of people don't understand. When you say, oh, I've struggled with depression in the past, they're like, you, really? But you always seem to be so. And I think that's also the problem with social media today, is we put all our best shots on social media. You know, it's only the good times. None of us talk about the terrible times. None of us talk about the fact that there's days where I didn't want to wake up, and I honestly thought to myself, well, today if I'm in a car accident and I die, it's okay.
Mm.
Like, that's actually okay. I would feel relieved that I didn't have to live anymore. And I think that's sometimes a bit of a struggle in terms of the line of work that I do, because no matter what, I always have to be chipper and I always have to kind of be happy. But, you know, that's just a challenge, and it is what it is. In terms of anxiety can be crippling. I think if you've never suffered with anxiety or you haven't struggled with anxiety, you can't relate, because
mm-hmm.
it's so difficult to explain how an emotion can physically cripple you into actually not physically wanting to do something. But it's just something that, you know, when you're doing live TV, you've just got to push through. But I have, over the years, developed coping mechanisms and worked through, you know, certain skills that I've created with my psychologist that I've, you know, just learned to kind of manage it better. And yes, there's, of course, medication as well. If you don't be scared, if you are really suffering with something badly and you need to see someone to get some form of medication, then, you know, I always say, be just from my personal perspective, and this isn't a medical opinion, but, you know, just make sure that you don't over medicate yourself, because I do think sometimes completely over medicated, which is also not a great thing to feel. So it's about finding the right balances and just surrounding yourself with people who are supportive of you, who understand what your goals are, and just people who can help you through the difficult times.
Wow. Would you mind sharing one or two of the coping mechanisms that you've applied and you found that they've worked really well for you?
So I also sometimes have fluctuating moods, and I'm incredibly sensitive. I've actually recently been reading about highly sensitive people, HSPs, and I find myself ticking many boxes when it comes to that. Basically just overstimulated. So if I am in a particular environment, I let other people's emotions, both negatively and positively, influence me, you know. So one of the things that I try and do is when I get over emotional, I try my absolute best to rationalize myself, with myself rather, and just to take a step back and kind of say, okay, this is the situation, this is the context that you find yourself in. You're feeling it this particular way, but it might not actually be this way. You know, you're perceiving it in a certain way. Mm-hmm. So kind of taking a step back, but it's a difficult thing to do. It's way easier said than done. So that's something that I've tried to work on over the years, just to try and, you know, especially when I work in such frantic environments. It's mm-hmm. ironic. I thrive off of all these different elements, yet sometimes they overwhelm me. So it's a bit of a love-hate relationship that I have with my job sometimes, because I love what I do, but it can be tough.
Yeah.
And then I do try and regularly visit the psychologist as best I can. And it's a tough one because it's, to say it quite bluntly, it's an expensive process.
Mm-hmm.
It is. I find it expensive as well. Mm-hmm. But it's not necessarily, there are places that you can go to, you know, that maybe it's more affordable, subsidized, if not free, at clinics and hospitals around the country. So I highly encourage something like that, or someone like a life coach. Who could possibly help you, depending on the severity of your situation.
Wow. Thank you very much. We do appreciate and love the work you do on television. And we hope, you know, through your work, and, you know, Robin Williams was one of the great yes. actors of our time, and he also struggled with pretty much the same. And
yes.
just keep thriving, and we enjoy what you do.
And just to say thank you very much, and I think it's great that you guys have got, you know, using a platform like this to speak about depression, and just to let anybody out there who's feeling like they're alone, because often you feel as if you're the only person who's ever gone through this, and you're the only person who's ever felt these feelings. You're not. There are so many people who are struggling, people that you'd never even think of, you know, people who, it's the perception is that we've got it all together, you know, she's got her life in check, and look how well this person's doing. Don't be fooled by what's happening service, and you're not alone, and just reach out and ask for help, and don't let the stigma get in the way. Don't think that you're crazy. I hate it when people say those words, you know, like, oh, she's acting so crazy. It's that language and that rhetoric that's not good, and we need to try and stop saying, and we say it in jest, you know, we say it in jest, we don't mean it in an, you know, you just say it flippantly, but it's harmful. So know that you're not alone, and there's so many people out there who are willing to help you, and you can get through it.
Thank you very much, Roxanne. Thank you very much for coming cool. through for us, and for sharing your expansive knowledge with us.
No, I don't know how. Don't take me as an expert. That's for sure. I don't know, but, you know, I don't know too much. It's just personal experience.
Yeah. Thanks a lot. Cool. Quickly, before we close, just with people that are struggling with depression,
yeah.
What to do?
Obviously, I'm a little biased in this being a psychologist,
yes.
but I'm going to say, well, I would recommend psychologists as a first port of call.
Mm-hmm.
But I think there's some truth in it as well, in that there's definitely room for medications like antidepressants, and psychiatrists or GP can definitely help with that. But I'm wary of only treating the symptoms of depression. And so I think something like therapy can be really useful in digging down a little below that to figure out what's causing the depression and perhaps help you to deal with it a bit better. Beyond that, if that's something that's out of your reach, I think social support is definitely a protective factor for a lot of mental health problems. So that's definitely something you should work on building if you can.
All right. Thank you very much. Thank you very much to our guests for sharing your stories and being such great guests and sharing so much knowledge with us. To our listeners, remember, you're not alone. There's a lot of help that you can reach and tap into. Just stay thriving, stay winning, and you have been part of the YLP on Cliff Central. CliffCentral.com.